Okay, I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order, Education Committee meeting scheduled from 1:15 to 2:50. First item on the agenda is roll call. Second.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Congressman Maker.
Here.
Congressman Potts.
Present.
Speaker Pratt. Congressman Walker.
Here. We have a quorum. Congresswoman Lemon, would you render an afternoon prayer for us, please?
I would be glad to. Thank you, sir. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today as humble servants. Thank you for the things that you bless us with, and we ask that you come to you today. We ask you kindly for blessings for all suffering and sick. We are thankful today to be able to be in the roles that we are, to be voices for our people. And we ask that you continue blessings. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. Anybody that's on the call that doesn't have their phones muted, please mute your phones. Thank you.
Chair Walker.
Congressman Tillman.
Yeah, are we looking at the minutes from June 3rd?
Yes, that's what I'm looking at.
Okay, motion to approve the minutes as presented for June the 3rd.
Second.
Motion by Congressman Tillman to approve the minutes from June the 3rd, seconded by Congressman Potts. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Okay, those minutes are approved. Next, we have minutes from July 11th.
Chair Walker.
Congressman Tillman.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes as presented from July 11th.
Thank you.
Second.
Seconded by Congressman Makers. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. Okay, the minutes from July 11th are approved. Moving on to discussion of scholarship fund. I see Treasurer Littleton, Chief of Staff Jason Zahn. On the line, I see Mary Wildcat on the screen. So at this time, I would appreciate whoever's wanting to represent the executive branch regarding discussion, get us started on the scholarship fund. I would appreciate it. So who wants to start us off?
Yes, sir. Chairman Walker, this is Jim Littleton, Treasurer.
Sir.
I guess this all came about because we were looking at our payments to Scholarship America, and they didn't agree with our understanding, and there were several items we had to look at, but the first one was how to apply the invoices that they had sent us and how we had paid them. And in that research, we found that the law that established that scholarship stated that the maximum amount that could be paid for administrative expenses was $220,000. When we looked at what we were being charged, we saw that there were some years they charged us more than that. So at that point, we went back to the contract, and we've had two contracts with Scholarship America. The first contract stated that the administration fees would be $220,000, but there was also a clause in there where they could charge us so much per applicant above a number. And that's what caught us in the farthest back year that we found. Then, as we looked at the newest contract that we are under right now, that contract said that set the administration fees at $258,000 plus $200 for every applicant above a certain number. So the law and the contract that has been approved and signed are not in agreement. And this bill was an attempt to try to make those in agreement.
Okay, so I feel like we're getting a little bit into the, you know, justification for the bill. Just briefly, does anyone have the Higher Education Scholarship Fund pulled up and can give us basically just some raw numbers, what's in it, where we are, go over that in that way? That's why I've got it on the agenda as discussion of the fund, and then I want to get into the legislation. Anybody have that pulled up?
So, Mr. Chair.
Congressman Potts, thank you.
Thank you. Just to clarify, we will be able to go back and ask questions about what was just said, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's no discussion or nobody has anything or any input on that, then.
Mr. Chair.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have any input on the balance of the fund, but I do remember reviewing the last report from Scholarship America that did details a downturn in expenditures from the scholarship. I think it was coming in around 3.8 million instead of the normal 4 million or 4.2 million, which is what I'm more familiar with. So small decrease, but happy to see that number in the front going from a 4 to a 3 million. And that kind of speaks to the overall language of these big three keep costing us more each year. Well, data and math seems to suggest otherwise. So I do think that, happy to pull that report to verify, but that's just something that I do recall from recent status update from Scholarship America, but that's not specific to the balance of the fund or anything in there right now. Thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Frazier, do you happen to have the latest revenue and expenditure sheet pulled up?
Scholarship America sent over their report, I believe it was last week, and that's in SharePoint. And there's a folder titled Direct Assistance Reports, and it's located there.
Pardon me? The last thing? What was the last thing you said?
It's located in SharePoint.
Gotcha.
In Direct Assistance, right. A folder titled Direct Assistance Reports.
Gotcha. Do you have it? Do you have it pulled up?
I do.
Do you mind just giving us your overall, just a brief analysis of on what you see? Does anyone else have that pulled up?
Mr. Chair.
Congressman Potts.
I do have that pulled up. I also see Congressman Stabler and Jordan do also have that pulled up as well. But if you look at the 2019 status report, that's where the numbers for the fall and the spring that are generally the $4 million figure. For 18, it was 4.1 million and 3.6. For 2019, it was 3.9, 3.4. So confirms what I said just a second ago, dropping those first numbers to 3 million instead of 4. Small decreases, but they're there. This report won't actually speak to the balance of the fund. It'll only speak to the expenditures as recorded by Scholarship America. So the revenue and expenditure sheet would be what would need to be reviewed to get the balance of the fund or the quarterly revolving fund report produced by the Treasurer's Office.
Gotcha. So typically from here on out, especially if we have any interim meetings, I'm going to put this on the agenda and be more equipped. I'll have hopefully Scholarship America when they're available to participate by phone and ask the treasurer and or Mr. Zahn or another representative from the chief's office to be available to speak to the revenue and expenditure sheet and the fund. Mr. Frazier, I see you with your hand up.
I also requested from them earlier today how much we've been paying in administration fees, and it looks like this fiscal year we have been charged almost $260,000. The last payment hasn't been paid. I'm assuming they didn't say how much it was for, but I'm assuming it's around $65,000 because that's what it is every quarter pretty much. And I'm guessing they haven't paid that because it would exceed the legal limit. I don't know if that's already been discussed because I came into the committee meeting a little bit late, but yeah, about $260,000 has been charged for administration costs.
Right, gotcha. And felt like the chief was pretty open and forthright during his executive message. He kind of went over that, hit the high points. We all, at least if you were listening, you heard where we are to some extent, how we got there. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead without objection and move on to the next agenda item. Anybody have any specific questions regarding the scholarship fund before we move on to the legislation? Okay, well, at this point, I'm going to relinquish the chair to Vice Chair Tillman, I believe. Congressman Tillman?
Okay, I'm back on the grid. Thank you, Congressman Walker. Next item on the agenda, pull that back up, is consideration, I believe, of ONCA 20-61, an act to amend 11 ONC Section 4-102I of the Higher Education Scholarship Fund and to establish an alternate and effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Walker. Congressman Walker, how would you like to proceed?
Well, I don't think there's any reason for me really to repeat what the chief said during his executive message or what Treasurer Littleton started out with. I mean, it's clear that we are in a position where we have invoices that are going to exceed the contractual limit to pay for the administrative costs for our scholarship. Obviously, it's some sort of impasse. I, like a few of the others, you know, aren't real sure how we ended up there. Maybe we spent some time figuring that out. I assume Congressman Potts has some direct questions that will help shine some light on that. I feel like at this point it would be appropriate to let the treasurer finish his remarks on basically where we are and how he felt like we got here. Treasurer Littleton, are you willing to elaborate on what you were discussing or talking about earlier?
Sure. The first contract that I found that we signed with Scholarship America is contract ON16184. We can provide that to you if you'd like. On that contract, it said that, and stop me if I get in the weeds too much, that the administration fees would not exceed $220,000 per calendar school year, which we had to get that defined. And then it also says, in no event shall this contract exceed $660,000. It's a three-year contract. But then that said that the clause in it said that unless there's over 1,200 participants, at which point there would be an additional $190 per student fee on top of that. When we reviewed our payments under that contract, some of the invoices said technical fee. Some of them said they hit us with a penalty of for 230 students over 1,200 students. So. And the other thing is they billed the first quarter in May with a request to have it paid in June for processing applications for the fall semester. So I couldn't tell if you'd pulled up the report on the Scholarship America report, but you'll see there's funding goes out for each one of those semesters. Okay, so that's the old contract. The new contract is ON19257, and I can provide that if you'd like. It went into effect in July of 2019. And in that contract, it was for administrative fees of $258,600 annually. But then there was a clause in it where they could bill us for $200 per individual applicant over 1,425 individual applicants. So I have sent two emails to Scholarship America. Kathleen May is the our contact person, asking for something in writing on how they count that. One contract said per student, the other contract said per applicant. So that's been something that we see that we've been billed in March of 2018. We were billed $45,000. In March of 2019, we were billed $43,700. We have not received any of that penalty for the calendar school year 2019-2020. So I can't get a response on that. I want something in writing, the telephone call, I can make notes, but I want something in writing because we're dealing with contracts. And so presently we have a invoice that we received in May. It due date of June 29, 2020, and it's for one quarter of the fees for the 2021 school year. And I've been holding that, seeking direction on which way the Congress wants us to go on that. So all these fees come out of the scholarship revolving fund. So once the money's put in there, it does cover these fees, but as you all can surmise, anything we pay for administration is less money that we can pay per students. And one other thing I'd like to say, and then if you want to ask me questions, I'll be glad to answer them, is that we never have, as far back as I can see, ever fully exhausted that fund. There's always been an amount left over at the end of the year, it seems like. So with that, I'm open for questions or someone else's input.
Mr. Chairman. Anybody else on the committee have any questions? Congressman Potts?
Chair. I can address the large elephant in the room. How was a contract executed with an amount in it that would knowingly violate the law?
Congressman Potts, I'll take that question. The contracts are submitted to the AG's office. We had AG's approval on the contract, and so we executed it.
So the AG's off, Mr. Chair, sorry.
Go ahead, Congressman Potts, please.
Okay. So the AG's office approved a contract that would knowingly violate Osage law.
We have approval from the AG's office to execute the contract. So the answer would be yes.
Okay. Then, Mr. Chair, if I may.
Please continue.
Directed at Ms. Wildcat or Mr. Zahn. I've often said that I think that we have a problem in policy requiring the students who may not attend in fall to apply in the spring or in the summer, like a July 15th deadline, I believe. And Ms. Wildcat, you may be able to clarify that. I'm not exactly sure when the deadline is. But even if they're not sure they're going to be going to school, we were encouraging people to apply. Is that possibly what could have gotten us into an increase in expenditures? Or, I mean, the clause in the contract, as stated, something to the effect of, you know, X number of dollars per applicant over this threshold. Well, if we're making people apply at a time when they may not need to apply, were we inadvertently or by policy increasing what we were being charged when we didn't need to have that in place to begin with? Is that question clear? And just to provide some numbers, it looks like we have from the 2019 status report. We have 1,009 students in the fall, 907 students in the spring, 47 in the summer, or the spring quarter, my apologies, 142 in the summer. So at no point would we have gone over that threshold for the per student fee unless we inadvertently required all 2,105 students to apply in the spring. That would put us over the threshold and unnecessarily cause us to be charged something that we didn't need to, which would push us over our expenditure limit. Is that, not asking for definite on that, but is that something that could be the cause for increased expenditures in the administrative costs?
Congressman Potts, this is Mary. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So from my understanding, Scholarship America is counting students after they are awarded.
So awarded students, not applicants.
From my understanding, yes, sir. That is the way they are counting those numbers.
Okay. Let me pull up. Well, and okay. So that would still be. That would still put us over. So it would put us over by less, but if you're requiring winter or spring students to apply in the summer, that number is 1980. Instead of what would have been 1,042 or 938. So even on the awarded applicants, our policy may still be pushing us to the per pupil or per student charge from Scholarship America.
Congressman Potts, can I point? I'd like to point something out. If you're looking at the 2019 status report from Scholarship America, if you look there on line 2, annual qualifying applicants submitted shows 1384. We've tried to do the math on their statistics. We can't come up with that number, but we've been told that that's what they reference that overage on. Now, again, we can't tie that together, but that number appears to be significant, and I just wanted to point that out.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Littleton.
Anybody else on the committee? Congressman Potts, were you finished, or did you have more?
I can take a break.
Okay. Any other members of the committee have any questions for Treasurer Littleton or possibly Director of Education Mary Wildcat? Treasurer Littleton, you said the first contract, I believe you said ON-16-184, what was the date that we entered into that contract?
Yes, sir, September 2nd, 2016.
So, And that was for not to exceed $600,000 for 3 years. Was that correct?
$660,000 for a three-year period of time. So that was the 220 that agreed with the existing Osage law.
Okay, so did we exceed that amount in that three-year time?
Hold on. In that three-year period of time, we paid $640,130.
Okay. And the second contract, we started that in 2019 or 2020?
It was signed. Wrong contract. Sorry. It was signed July 18, 2019.
And that was ON-19-257. And is that where the increase in the annual fees went up to 258 versus the initial 220?
Yes, 258, 600 annually. There was not a cumulative total for the three-year contract.
Okay, so the second contract didn't have a three-year period not to exceed a certain amount?
I believe it is a three-year contract, but I don't think it has that provision for, I don't see that provision to have a cumulative total for 3 years, no.
Okay. And then presently, you said we have a present invoice fees for 2020 school year, but you didn't say how much that invoice was. How much is that for?
It is $64,650, which is the 258.6 divided by 4.
That's all I had. Thank you for the clarification, Treasurer Littleton. Any other members of the committee have any further questions?
Mr. Chair.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Treasurer Littleton, the $64,650 per quarter, per se, that puts us on track for the $258.6. Are we being charged for the currently, because there's a clause of not to exceed this plus the additional over. Well, it doesn't look like we're being charged any over. They're just charging us the $64,650 per quarter. So is that, are we being charged the per applicant clause per se? Does that make sense?
In two of the previous years, there was an invoice received that included the overage. The way the overage reads, if contractor processes 1,425 individual applicants for the program, contractor shall provide written notification to the nation. If the nation proves prior written authorization to continue, contractor shall receive an overage fee of $200 per individual applicant processed beyond the 1,425th individual applicant that calendar year.
So, to clarify, Mr. Chair, if I may.
Please continue, Mr. Potts.
So we're not currently being paid per that clause.
I'm sorry, was that a question for me?
Yes, sir.
Could you repeat it?
I think I said we're not currently being charged per that clause. That clause is not what's putting us over the $220,000 a year that's in the current law.
That's currently, that is correct, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other members of the committee have any questions? Okay, I see none.
Mr. Chair, I can...
Congressman Potts, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How did we arrive, Mr. Littleton or Congressman Walker, how did we arrive at $400,000? Because it looks like the expenses have hovered around $220,000 because we didn't exceed $660,000 within the three-year period leading up to the most recent contract. And if we're just being charged $64,650, we're only going to be charged $258,000. So how do we arrive at the $400,000 figure?
If I could answer that.
Please.
When we were looking at this, and for the 2019-2020 calendar school year, as the contract says, we were charged $259,950. But there is not a fee in there for the number of applicants over and above that number of the contract, 1425. Okay? When you look at the report that you looked at earlier, depending upon how we count the applicants, one number there is 2,580 applicants in the very first column. Payment requests received is 2,580 applicants, okay? So the $400 really, I mean, I know Congressman Walker struggled with this. We were originally thinking maybe a percentage of what was appropriated into that fund, but then knowing that it wasn't always depleted, then we could be paying a lot of money for those administrative expenses. But if you look at the 2,580 possible that they could count, you're 1,100 applicants above the 1425. And at $200 per applicant, if that's the number they use, and like I said earlier, I've been trying to get a clarification in writing of how they count. They count those, and I've not been successful in that inquiry. But that's basically how the number we came up with that number.
So, Mr. Chair, if I may,
please continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, the 2,580 is the total number of students funded per each of those quarters. And I appreciate you pointing out that number earlier, but it looks like that qualifying application number is the 1384, which puts us a considerable amount away from the 1425 threshold. So it looks like we have from the 2019 report, and we don't have the 2020 report yet. I imagine we should have that soon. 2019 report, it looks like we have 1,384 students, which is a decrease. Again, to talk about, you know, these scholarships are not out of control or running rampant. We're seeing a decrease in the number of students. Now, that may change in 2020. Basically, we see students go back to school in economic downturn time. So 2020 may blow this whole thing out of the water. But what it looks like to me is we're at 1384 students, far away from the 1425. And when we're being faced with, we've got to make cuts here, cuts here, cuts here, cuts here, I don't know that I can look at an 82% increase in administrative costs because we executed a contract that shouldn't have been executed in the first place. I mean, I get that we have to pay our bills, and by no means do I want to diminish services to students and parents and put them in jeopardy right now, but I would be much more comfortable with, from what I'm understanding, somewhere around $275,000 instead of $400,000.
Congressman Potts, can I make a quick clarification? The current contract is a 2-year contract. The previous contract was a 3-year contract.
Correct, but it's for $258,600 annually. And what's allowed by law currently is the $220,000. And all we're being charged so far, Treasurer Littleton, three quarters into the four quarters of that annual, because we haven't paid our final bill, because that's what would put us over, we're just being charged the $258,600. We're not being charged that per student fee of $200 per student over the 1425. Looks like we just don't have that many students in the system. So while I agree we need to up this to cover this contract, I don't see the need for $400,000. I mean, that seems excessive.
Chairman Tillman?
Please continue, Mr. Littleton, please.
Yes, in the 1920 contract, we paid $259,950. There was an erroneous county info fee of $250. There was a provide student by county major fee, fall fee 2019 of $150. There was a fee to email procurement position, $800. And there was a fee for college contact report, $150. So we paid the $258 plus those small amounts there. And there was not, as I mentioned earlier, there was not what I'm going to say is a penalty payment clause for over the application amount. And that's one of the reasons I've asked for how they count them specifically in writing so I'll know. But the 400 we were looking at, you know, and Congressman Walker can attest to this, I knew something had to happen. We were looking at what number. I realized Congress is going to negotiate this among your committee, and then when it gets to the full Congress. So, you know, I respect what you're saying, Congressman Potts. I understand, but I knew if I put $258,000 in there, there is that possibility that we would be charged an additional amount. In 2018-19, that additional amount was $43,700. And in 2017-18, that additional amount was $45,030. So, and those were the previous contract calculations. So, you know, I just want to make sure we were able to cover our fees and be able to provide the students their scholarships, and by cutting this administrative fees will not cut Congress's or the nation's bottom line, but it will affect how many scholarship dollars you can award. So with that,
thank you, Mr. Littleton. Any other members of Congress or Congressman Potts, do you have any further questions?
I'll go ahead and chime in a little bit.
Congressman Walker.
So you can see in the support documentation that there is a request for a repealer of that section. I declined to file the bill with that way. Felt like that to some extent may create a possible open checkbook or basically enable any amount of administrative expenses be paid. There is an argument to, on the opposite side of that, why it may be a good deal. I'm not really wanting to go into that right now. It gets into parts or aspects of negotiation leverage. A percentage was discussed. I was unwilling to do a percentage because some years the scholarship fund is filed with an excessive amount. Other years, whenever times are lean, which they are now, it's a lesser amount, and we only appropriate what will get us through that year. So I felt like, and there was, I had multiple discussions that went through a good hour-long meeting with staff, executive staff, about this, and I was agreeable to put an amount in there at $400,000. I asked the treasurer directly if he felt like that would cover the fees, and he said yes. There was an unless disclaimer, but felt like that was unlikely. I knew that this conversation was going to happen and needs to happen. Congressman Potts, you brought up some issues that I knew you would, that I did as well, whenever I was being asked to sponsor this bill. And at the end of the day, I agree with what you said just a few minutes ago, is we're going to have to figure out something where we can pay our bills and not jeopardize the administration of our scholarships. So that's where we are and kind of where I sit and how I got here at the $400,000 amount.
Thank you, Congressman Walker. Congressman Potts. You need to unmute your phone, Congressman Potts.
My apologies, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
No worries.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make an amendment. Page 1, line 26 through 27, strike 400,000 and references thereto and insert 280,000.
There's a motion on the floor. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Congressman, I think, Maker. Was that Congressman Maker?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to confirm with Treasurer Littleton, in the execution of contract 16-184, so for 3 years prior to 19-257 being executed, per year, we've never exceeded $280,000 per year. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And this year, under contract 19-257, as of right now, we're on track to exceed $280,000 in this year.
Okay. The 2019-20 did not exceed that number. The 2020-21, we've, of course, just received one invoice, and that's the one-fourth of the 258. So the answer is yes, we have not. That sounds like I'm saying a negative. No, we have not gone over the 280.
The 280 should cover it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Treasurer Littleton.
Any other discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chair, if I may continue.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with Congressman Walker. I can sit here and have a discussion on the percentage, but all of those conversations that you mentioned absolutely come into play. You know, did we appropriate too much by accident? Does that, is a fluctuating administrative cap dangerous per se? I'm much more comfortable with honing in on a better number to allow these bills to be paid, which I think is around $280,000. That still gives some flexibility for expenditures. But I also have a companion motion to further review this because I think, specific to this motion, I think that that's where I need to sit right now, is closer to 280, which is a much smaller increase than the 82% increase. So I'll let that stand. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Very well.
Question.
Any other further discussion?
Congressman Tillman.
Congressman Walker, please.
I just want to essentially ask the same question Congressman Potts did. Is $280,000 going to cover the administrative costs for Scholarship America? To the best of your opinion, your...
If that question's for me, it will cover the current contract. With the only apprehension I have is if we go over that count that they use for applicants. That would be the only reason we should go over that. And if I'm reading things properly, at that point, I think I would come back to Congress before we would pay that bill, if that would be agreeable to the Congress.
Gotcha.
Okay, well, then there's no reason. Sorry, Congress.
Congressman Walker, please.
Well, right. Then there's no reason not to pass this. I agree. Let's reduce the administrative fees. So I'm gonna leave it at that. Sounds like a good amendment.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion on the motion to the amendment? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
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 Yes. Any opposed say no. Motion passes. Any further questions to Mr. Littleton or Ms. Wildcat while we have them here? If the Treasurer Littleton, just I have a question, just a clarity question. And you talked about some of these fees. I think you said they were erroneous, and there was a county, there was a college contact. There was another one I was missing. What was the name of?
The four that I pointed out, one was fee for college contact report.
Right.
There was one fee to email procurement position. And to give you a little background on that, when we had an opening in procurement, I talked to Mary in HR and I said, hey, can we send a blitz out to all these college students that are on scholarship and see any of them are qualified or would come back and work for the nation, which I think would be a natural fit. And and so they did a blast to them, emailed all the recipients, and they charged us $800 for that. So then there was a $250 charge for the line item on the invoice said erroneous county info. And then there was another one for provide student by county per major for the fall of 2019. So,
okay.
And just one more that I didn't tell you about. In June of 2018, they charged us $15,000 for a technical fee. And I don't know what that was. So
we don't know what that was. They just called it a technical fee and build us.
$15,000, yeah.
Okay. And do these erroneous, the four that you had mentioned, are these you said they're reoccurring every year pretty much?
No, sir. That was just in that one year I read those. And Mary might have a better understanding of what those fees are. She deals, she has an open ear to them, I think, so.
Okay.
Chair, this is Stabler.
Okay, one moment, Ms. Stabler. Lastly, Mr. Littleton, you say you have problems with communications with Scholarship America?
I've sent him two emails requesting in writing how they calculate that per applicant number and have not received a email back. I know I can call them. I did call once and talk to them, but you know, I wanted something in writing, something black and white that I could hold up and interpret.
When did you send those emails? How long ago was that?
I'll have to look back and see, sir.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Congresswoman Stabler.
Thank you. I just have a couple of questions. First, and I appreciate what Chairman Tillman said. That's what I was going to head toward, are those reports. Are those, I guess it goes back to who is monitoring this contract or whose hands are managing this contract? And the other part of that question is, are these requested items? And if they're not requested items, why are we accepting fees for those items? Is somebody requesting those specific reports from the nation? I guess that would go to Mr. Littleton or Ms. Wildcat.
I don't, the only one I can say that we knew about was the email for the procurement opening. That we discussed that with them, and it's, we had the ability to advertise an accounting position at the same time. They didn't charge us for the accounting position, but they did charge us for the procurement position. So.
And then I have one more question, Chairman.
Continue.
The revenue and expenditures report, if we haven't seen one, I would think that we need that data as soon as possible. I know we worked on this last year. I don't know that I've noticed any report coming in recently. I see the Scholarship America reports, but we need the revenues and expenditures report from Treasury.
For the scholarship?
Mm-hmm. Yes, for the scholarship fund.
Okay. I'll see where that is.
All right. Thank you. That's all I have, Chairman.
Thank you, Congresswoman Stabler. Any other comments before I relinquish the chair back to Congressman Walker? And I would just like to say I appreciate the work that Congressman Walker and Congressman Potts' collaboration and coming to a, you know, amenable amendment. And so if there's no further, and I'd also like to thank Congressman Littleton, excuse me, Treasurer Littleton, don't mean to put you in there, Mr. Littleton. So having no more discussion, I will yield the chair back to Congressman Walker.
Mr. Chair.
If that's directed at me, I feel like maybe it's a bit premature for me to take the chair back. We haven't, there's been no action. Go ahead. Let's get her done.
Oh, you want to report out? I'm sorry. My apologies.
No biggie.
Have any movement on ONCA 2061?
Mr. Chair.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to make a motion to report ONCA 2061 to the Congress with the due pass recommendation as amended.
Second.
There's a motion on the floor and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. Motion passes. We'll relinquish the chair back to Congressman Walker.
That brings, Chair. Brings us to adjournment or Congressman Chair. Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to make a motion to request that the Chair of the Education Committee request contracts ON-16-184 and ON-19-257 and request the presence of the Attorney General or a representative of the Attorney General's office to be present at a future scheduled meeting of the Congressional Education Committee.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Congressman Potts, are you going to send that to me by email or written?
I have it. And just hit send.
Got it. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Yes. Any opposed, say no. Okay, motion passes. Motion to adjourn. Congressman Potts.
New motion to adjourn.
Congresswoman Lemon beat you to the punch. Congressman Tillman seconded. All those in favor or any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Thanks, committee. We're adjourned.
RJ?